Amen. Last week we talked about our circle of friends. If you heard that message, I'm going to play off that message again, and I'm going to go into this week's message. But this week, I want to talk about your circle of purpose, okay? Your purpose in the kingdom of God. I think it's so vital that we know what our purpose is. And I'm going to probably need some help again this week. I had the rope around here somewhere. Girls, are you sitting on any rope over here? But we're going to use the rope again. Any rope over here? I thought we had some rope. That's right. Okay, we got that. And I just need a tripod. Ray, can you see in the furnace room, or Mary Karis, if we get a tripod here and maybe set that up? Maybe over here. And I think you girls, you guys sitting on all my stuff over here. Aren't you glad that these girls are here today visiting?
Amen.
Praise God. You guys are welcome in this house. You guys are going to get to figure out that we're pretty loose in this place, but we love Jesus. And amen. I'm just thankful to be here myself. I just spent the week really taking time to worship the Lord and really getting in the Word of God more so than I normally do. And I thank God that He's spoken to me. Amen. Thank God for that. Okay, so last week I'm going to bring you guys into about 3 or 4 minutes of last week's message to kind of bring you up and review you. But last week I was talking about your circle of friends, and I'm glad we've got some young people here. I don't know if everybody can see that or not, but praise God. If you're able to see it, then otherwise, Ray, I don't know if it needs to be over here or wherever you want it set, but that looks good to me. Okay. I'm going to read this post. Now, this was Christine Kane. I read it to you last week. I want to read it to you again. And she says this. Now, this is, I want you guys to be listening to what this lady is saying here, because it's interesting. You guys have one lease on life. You have one opportunity in this world to be effective for Jesus Christ, okay? So what you do with your life, your time, your effort, your energy is very important. And she gives an admonition to the church. She said this: it's so disheartening when the people who should be cheering for you the loudest remain silent. These are days when we all need the strength and courage that we can get to run our race and finish our course. We have no time to waste or emotional bandwidth to spare trying to convince those who should be for us to act as if they are for us. Amen? We want people in our camp. We want people to follow Jesus, especially if we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. I'm not talking about your school group or your farming group or your basketball court group or whatever else. I'm talking about the people that are following Jesus. Don't try and carry those who want to pull you down. Don't waste time trying to convince others of your worth or your value. It's wasted time. Don't expend valuable energy minimizing you so that others can feel more comfortable around you. A smaller you does not make a bigger them. Pretty interesting. Don't try to hang on those who have let you go completely. Don't be controlled by those who won't allow you to thrive or to flourish in your life and in your ministry. You guys, God set us free, amen? He set us free. He's broke the bondages. He set us free. We're not bound anymore, and we don't have to have dead weights around us anymore. Isn't that freeing today, that you can walk with God in the cool of the day, and the relationship has been restored by faith in Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, that no weapon formed against you would prosper. Amen? That's what we're talking about today. So I want you guys to get loose in this and to feel the liberty in Jesus Christ. Make sure those closest to you are for you. They talk to you, not about you. They're not jealous of you. They're not threatened by you. They're not intimidated by you. They're not wanting to leverage you, and they don't want to be you. You need them to be them and bring the best out of you. Amen? The closest to you are the ones that truly have the capacity to either hurt you or to heal you. Choose your circle wisely. That was the post. I read it last week. Now I want to go into the scripture. Amen. Praise God. We're going to see if it was any different in Jesus' time. So go to the book of Mark. I believe we're in Mark chapter 6. We're going to be looking at 8 verses there. Now we know about Jesus Christ. He came to His own, and the Bible says His own received Him not. You can look at Joseph's life, and you remember the struggles that he had. You can You can look at David's life and we're going to see that, but I pray today that we have time to get into the real purpose of what we're here for and what we're talking about. And I want to make a distinction that in your life and in your ministry, it's going to be the same way. There are going to be disciples that follow your teaching. Amen? And then there's going to be relations. And I want you guys to look at this. Mark 6. And he went out from thence and came into his own country. Would you say his own country? That means where he lived. Jesus had returned to the place of his of where he was grown up, and that was in Nazareth, okay? And he's gone, he's been ministering, and he's coming back to that place where he grew up, where everybody knew him and everybody was familiar with him, okay? And Christ was condemned here by his countrymen. You're going to see this. But it says, and his disciples also followed him. So notice that his own country and his disciples are two different people, okay? Verse 2, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach. That is in his own country, okay? In the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which hath been given unto him, that even such mighty works were wrought by his hands? Verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? In other words, they're finding out that he's come back home to preach. He's in his own backyard preaching, and the discounting of his life and ministry is upon the countryside. It's upon the people. It's upon his family. It's upon his own sisters. And it says here that the next verse says, and they were offended in him. Do you see that? They were offended at him. You guys, listen to this. They were offended at the Lord Jesus Christ. The sinless one sent from heaven, he came to his own and his own were receiving him not. So I want you guys to get this in your own life. Are we going to have opposition?
Yes.
We're going to have opposition. How in the world? Can you guys not see the board up there? I'll just back this up for a second. Okay. There's going to be opposition from the devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus goes back home, and now his brethren, his countrymen, his kinfolk, is what this says here in one of the commentaries. They're offended at him. And the Greek word for offended there is scandalon. You ever heard us preach about scandalon? It's a bait stick. It's a trap. It's to trip up figuratively those people, to entice them to sin or to apostatize, is what the Greek says there, or that they would find displeasure in Jesus Christ. There's his kinfolk, his sisters, his family, they didn't like what was going on. I don't believe this represents his mother, Mother Mary. I don't see that in the text at all there. I don't think she had a problem with Jesus at all. And I don't think Jesus ever sinned. Do you?
No.
This is interesting that Jesus is teaching us something here. In verse 4, but Jesus said unto them, and he's teaching not just about himself, but anybody that is going to be called up and represented to speak under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now look at this. And he said, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin. That's his kinfolk. That's his family. And in his own house. And they could not receive. They could not receive what was happening with Jesus Christ. They could not receive the truths. They couldn't explain it away, because they know that this young man, this child that was growing up teaching in the synagogues, he was found, he was perfect, and he was preaching under a mighty wisdom, a divine wisdom, and a divine power, which should have been the ratifying and the recommending of his life and ministry, right? He's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. They're doing powerful works. He's in the synagogues. He's doing unbelievable things. But they could not come to the conclusion that he was really the one. In verse 3, you see what they're saying. Is not this the carpenter? Isn't he just a carpenter's son? Isn't this just Joseph's boy? Isn't this... And so here's, I'm going to read a little bit of commentary from David Gusick. This is good. They studied to disparage him. The people, his kinfolk, his family, his people of his country, they studied any weaknesses. They wanted to raise prejudices in the minds of the people to stand against Jesus. They were offended. It was scandalon, and it was from the enemy. The mighty works and the wisdom and all the things that he was teaching in his doctrine, they couldn't have come from man. And they knew that this couldn't have come from man. The anointing that was upon this person's life, it was amazing. And they knew that it had to be from God, but they simply could not honor him in this or put him in the place that it was God. He is the son of Mary. That's like them saying, that's not Brett. That's just Marlis's boy. That's baby Brett. And we all know him up in Scribner-Snyder. We know what he was like in college. We know this, that, and the other about, you know what I'm saying? We know. Is that the son of Mary? We know the family. We know the kindred. You know how Alex and Marlis are. Are they here? Marlis is laughing. Though they continued to be astonished at the doctrine, they were prejudiced against him. Prejudice against Jesus. The one that was truthful. The one that was being led. The one that was anointed of God. They looked upon him with contempt, and for that reason, they wouldn't receive his doctrine. They wouldn't come under his doctrine. They said, you know what, you've got your ministry over there. Wonderful. Though he was sinless and sent from God. The sisters there, you see the sisters in that passage, it says they too were offended. Jesus had sisters. Did you know that? Big family. They were all offended with Jesus Christ. He was rejected at Nazareth. He was rejected at Bethlehem. He was rejected at the inn. He was rejected with his kinfolk. He was rejected at his countrymen. He was rejected. He was rejected, but he was chosen of the Almighty God. Can I get an amen this morning? Amen? In church, I want you to know if there's an anointing on your life, you're chosen by Almighty God, even though everything in the reality may seem against you. Don't let it knock you down. These neighbors had just become too familiar with this person named Jesus. They knew little enough about him to think that they knew everything about him, and they didn't know quite enough about him, that he was Messiah, King of Kings. He was the one the prophets had spoke about and written about over the ages. He was the culmination of everything that was good and righteous and holy. He was the Lamb sent from the foundation of the world to save us from our sins and to separate us from our sins. And hallelujah, I'm so glad that he's come. Aren't you guys today? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. Jesus, in another version, it says a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Verse 4, and in another verse, says a prophet is not despised anywhere but in his own country. He'll be despised there. What does this teach us? It teaches that ministers are seldom acceptable and successful in their ministries among people they know. Familiarity, listen to this, this is great. Familiarity in their younger years breeds a contempt for them. And then their advancement later in life in the things of God, it causes and begets envy. Men will hardly set those people as guides for their souls because they knew them and were familiar with them in past life. Interesting. Interesting what Jesus is talking about it. Sure, church is going to hurt. There's going to be, you are going to be raised up a prophet to your area, to your kingdom, and guess what? To God's kingdom. And guess what? There's going to be people that are not going to go along with you. Can I get an amen? Sherry, there's people not going to go along with you. Dylan, there's people not going to go along with the fact, they're just not going to go with you. You understand? But then there's going to be some disciples that do. Are you with me?
Amen.
There's going to be 12 disciples that do. There's going to be a whole lot of countrymen out there that can't figure this thing out. But then there's going to be some disciples that follow, and God empowers them, and they start to do the exact same things, and God sends them all over the world preaching this gospel. And guess what? They're going to get the job done. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Look at verse 5. Let's continue in the passage. Now, where this happens is everywhere, and where this happens is always, but where this happened in time, right here, we pick up in verse 5. And he could do there, in his own city, town, area. He could do no mighty work. The word mighty work in the Greek is dunamis. It means mighty, miraculous miracles. Thank you, girls, for singing that song. He's the God of miracles. I heard that this morning. That was spot on from God. Amen. I'm glad you drove from Tacoma to go get your sister so she could come and sing that, and so your ears could hear that this morning. Amen. I'm thankful for that this morning. Praise God. There he could do no mighty, miraculous work save that he laid hands upon a few sick folk and he healed them. Well, that's pretty good to me. Lyle, think about this. Jesus, where he was everybody knew, they had seen him grow up and everything else. Jesus could do no miracles or very little miracles there at all. Now, why was that, church? Are you listening to me this morning? Why was that? Is not Jesus omnipotent? Amen. Isn't he God? Amen. He's of the Godhead. He's omnipotent. He has all power, but he can do so very little where there is what?
Unbelief.
The omnipotence of an almighty God is simply tied by our unbelief. God can do things where there's no belief at all, where people don't even, in Islamic countries and everywhere else, he's doing mighty miraculous things, but he's absolutely bound by his word to do nothing where there is unbelief, which is the opposite of faith. The opposite of faith says, I'm not going to believe. I hold this in utter contempt, that the fact that Jesus would even raise up and start to preach. Who does he think he is? David? David and Goliath. You little stripling, get back there. You're prideful. Go back and feed the sheep. We're the men of war here. Little did they know that there was a calling on David's life to be king of Israel. The chosen one of Israel. Little did they know with Joseph that this one, this dreamer of all these dreams was going to be raised up and his position someday was going to be unbelievable in the heavenlies. Amen?
Amen.
In the heavenlies. Wow. Unbelief and contempt for Christ can stop the current and the flow of the Holy Spirit in any place. Unbelief and contempt that God, this isn't God. How could this be? No, church. And look at this. Verse 6. And this is something to note in your Bibles. When Jesus marvels, you better write it down. Because he marvels at great faith in the Bible. But here in this instance, he marvels at their unbelief. He marveled at it. It shocked him. And he went around the villages and he went to teach elsewhere because he could get no joy, no miracles, no power. It was stoppage. It was blockage. It was negating the work of God because of their unbelief. And Jesus was amazed. He's like, you've seen me grow up. You've seen the change. You've seen this. You've seen that. You've witnessed it. You've been there all along. Can you not think back? This was the culmination of all of the Jewish, this I am that I am. And scandalon was in effect. Prejudice, judgment, envy, all these things were mixing and molding themselves into a concoction that would bring Jesus Christ to a death upon a cross where they would yell, crucify him, the Lord of glory. So think it not strange, church or prophet, if you're raised up and everybody's not beating the bandwagon to jump on board. Was it any different for Jesus Christ? Amen. This is good. He went around the village. If we cannot do good where we would, we must do it where we can. And be glad if we may have the opportunity to go somewhere else and preach the gospel. There may be a time where we have done everything we possibly can to move in the current and flow and encourage and bless. And there may be a time when God says, you have completed the calling upon your life at this moment. Now I'm going to send you. The test has been passed. Isn't that something? But let's stay with verse 7. And he called unto him the 12. And he began to send them. Now he called the 12. You see it in verse 7? He called them, and they heeded the calling and began to send them. He sent them forth two by two, gave them power, that's dunamis, over unclean spirits, and then he commanded them. Now, some people were going to listen to Jesus. Can I get an amen there? And God was going to take this rough and ruddy group of 12 disciples, and he was going to take them, and they were going to turn the world upside down. They just needed a little bit more of that Holy Ghost to get the job done. Amen? So what are we teaching here today? That's just review. You need to have people in your circle that are supporting you, lifting you, lifting your hands, because if they're not, they're against you. And you need to get them out of your circle, all the poisonous things to the system. Where's the rope? Ray? Ray, you just need to make me a circle, maybe over here, Ray. I'm just going to stand in it for a second again, okay? But I need you to throw that lasso over there. Amen? Get people in the circle that are for you, that will support you, that will lift up your arms, that will lift up everything about you. Folks that see what you're doing as a blessing. Anybody see what you're doing as a blessing?
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
No, okay. Well, come on, church. God's looking down from heaven. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen?
Amen.
Right. You don't have to have a lot of people, just have the right people, but leave the critics outside the circle, okay? Get the people inside your circle that are full of life, that are full of anointing, that are full, the most anointed people that you can possibly find, put them in the circle, amen? Invite the most anointed people that you could ever find to preach into your church and into your life. Melissa Meyer, you've got a church, you've got a home, invite anointed people into that house. Karen Larson, you've got a house, a home, a life, a ministry. Invite anointed people and get them in there with you. Amen? And just wrap a circle around you and get revival going on in that circle and invite everybody else to come in and enjoy revival. Amen?
Amen?
We don't have to be dead. We don't have to be dry. We can be full of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, Elijah and Elisha are a great picture of this. Elijah was an Old Testament prophet, if you don't remember. But he was so full of the mighty power of God, Elisha saw it and he said, I want a double portion of what you have. I want some double portion power, anointing. I want the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Elijah said this, if you see me when I go. Amen? He said, if you see me when I go, you'll get it.
Amen.
If you see me. And I tell you what happened is this. The true story, girls. In the Old Testament, it says this, that a chariot of fire came down out of the heavenlies and took the ground level and went down and picked him up, picked up Elijah, and it didn't even stop to pick him up. It just came out of the sky, grabbed Elijah, and Elijah went shooting back up in the sky in a chariot of fire, and all of a sudden, as he gets back up into the stratosphere, he goes like this. And it says his mantle, that was his coat. His coat was floating down probably for miles and miles and miles, and it came back down, and that coat landed right on Elisha. Amen.
Oh.
Elisha threw that thing on. Help me now. Hold my mic. Got to put back on. See if that thing fits. Try it on. I know Elisha. My gosh, this is anointed. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I put it on. And Elisha goes, I got to try this out for myself. And he goes and grabs a staff. Go grab a staff. Go over to the River Jordan. And he grabs that staff and he plunges that thing in the River Jordan. And guess what happened? All of a sudden, the water started to pile up on either side. And God was speaking to Elisha and said, I'm the God of Elijah. Now I'm the God of Elisha. Amen. And I'm going to continue the work that I started in him. I'm going to continue if you just follow me. Amen. If you get some anointed people in your circle, dear God, they'll all end up a little piece of Elijah in them. Amen.
Amen.
Ask them. Ask Steve Sweat. Ask Michael Kirch. Ask right on down the line. They'll have a little bit of their spiritual father in them. Amen.
Amen.
Christy Johnson asked a great question while we were here. She said, how do you keep your anointing? How do you keep it? She says, how many anointed people were around you when you started this? How many anointed people were around me, us, Sarah and I, when you started this ministry in Northeast Nebraska? Well, That's a really good question. She said, well, how have you managed to stay anointed? Because I have pastors all around me. I'm on staff with other pastors, and they're anointed people of God. They'll speak into your life. They'll have a word of prophecy. They'll have a word of knowledge. They'll lay hands, and you could feel the anointing that you talked to. They're so anointed. He says, it's very easy for me to stay anointed. That sounds like a luxury.
Amen.
Sounds like an unbelievable. And the end game for the Christian is, can you stay anointed? Can you stay anointed? Can you stay anointed? Will you stay anointed? Let me ask you this question to everyone in this room, and answer it honestly. How many people around you are anointed of God? In your life, I see people looking puzzled right now. I see deer in the headlight right now. Whoa. What a question. I knew I'd get that response because the Holy Spirit showed me I'd get that response. You guys are staggered. How many people are in your corner, full of the Holy Ghost and fully anointed and fully ready to help and fully ready to... How many people? Because anointing rubs off, by the way. Amen? That's why you need more of it. It needs to be refilled. There's a refilling of that well of water. Amen? The Bible said in John 14, I'm going to pray and He's going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you something comforting. Amen? I'm going to put something in your circle that's very comforting. Ever curled up in a warm comforter? 500 thread count. It feels good, doesn't it? To have that in your corner. I'm going to send you another comforter. And He may abide with you forever. He's going to live with you. He's going to be there to help you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:21, I'll go there, that He has anointed us, He who has anointed us is God and given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Sarah, I won't make you walk up here because I tell you what, she's 8 weeks away. And she doesn't need to waddle too much more, okay? That's... But brothers and sisters, Sarah, if I had you standing up in the circle, if I was going to ask you how many anointed people do you have in your life? Church, it's very important that you put anointed people in your life.
Amen.
It's very important. Today, I want to close with these thoughts. And I'm going to try to fit this in, so just bear with me for a few more minutes this morning. Today, I want you to find out your purpose. I want you to find out your purpose. And I want you guys to know, if you look over on this little circle of purpose, you're going to see there, it says God. See where it says God? Everybody say, amen. Okay, there's God. That's when God comes into your life, okay? You guys might want to jot this down, but this is where God comes into your life and you find Jesus and you come to know Jesus. And the circle's going this way, okay? Certain's going this way. And with a little bit of discipleship, I'm sorry, I'm turning my back to people. You're never supposed to do that, public speaking, are you? Okay. So you get God in your life, and then you begin to get a little bit of discipleship right here. Let's do D for discipleship, okay? And you figure out that, dear God, God's put giftings inside of me. God's put giftings within me, okay? Now, your gifting will open doors for you. Your gifting, even in the natural, will make room for you. Your gifting may bring you before great people, the Bible says. Your gifting may be singing or whatever else, and it will just... Some things you're better at than anybody else, okay? Because God put that treasure, that talent within you. There's some things that just nobody else could come close to what you have as a gifting. So you have giftings. Now, you could use your gifting to go into business or management or make a lot of money and do it, all these other things. But God's involved in your life, and God is going to bring you to the place, the next place in that step is to figure out what your calling is. Anybody know what a calling is? I'm going to read you this definition of what your calling is. It's the intentional use of God's specific gifting to impact the kingdom of God. The intentional use of God's specific gifting in you to impact the kingdom of God. God has put all these things within you to impact for God. Amen? And that's the only reason He would anoint you. So that God can get the glory as He put a gifting in you to be used by Him. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works from before the world began. Are you with me? So, you know what? You could do this. You could go into the rap music industry. You could, you know, I could always talk. I had a little bit of gifting. I could sing. I could do this. So I could be a radio announcer today. I was really interested in sports, when I was about Dylan's age. So guess what? If I would have just stuck with that, I could be an announcer for the Huskers today. No problem. Okay? Because I have a gifting. It's just an obvious gifting. You know I can talk. I always got in trouble for talking in school, okay? It comes out of me very naturally. But that gifting then can be used carnally in this world, or the gifting can be submitted to God's calling on your life. Are you with me? And that gifting then had to come to the cross and say, not my will, but thine be done, and that God could use that gifting. And so it submitted itself to the calling of God upon my life, which was to tell the wide world with this big mouth about Jesus Christ. Amen? And God has anointed that big mouth to go and preach on the radio or in at a festival or here or there or wherever. Amen? Or to seven little kids down here. And I love it. Amen. So that's now, if you want to figure out your purpose in life, you got to get God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You've got to then, through discipleship, come to know that you have giftings inside of you.
Amen.
Amen. Now you will be totally empty and unfulfilled in life. Jordan, you're listening to me. Now come on. Until you figure out that that gifting that God gave you is not mine but His, and I need to give that to God. Amen. You will feel fulfillment in life as you enter into calling. And a lot of people think this is what it's going to take from here on out. As long as I'm driven, right?
Yeah.
That's going to complete it and give me purpose. That ain't it. As long as I have a great network and I start to show myself through all the network of social media and I make a big name for myself, then that's how we do it, right? Is that how you do it?
No.
Absolutely not. We do it through godly community. You cannot find your purpose until you figure out your godly community, and that you figure out that this is all about God's plan. You guys say, what are you talking about? What does godly community have to do with my purpose? Well, let's look at one. And I'm being fast today because I know they say attention spans are getting lower. Did you know that? That's what they say. I don't know if that's true or not. They say they're getting lower. Okay, Adam. Adam was called of God. Are you with me on this? He walked with God in the cool of the day, right? He had a gifting. What was his gifting? Management. He had a gifting of management. He was supposed to name all the animals, right? He was there to bring dominion and to bring them all to take dominion over the whole earth. He had that was his calling. He had a gifting of management. He had a calling to do this of God, to name all the animals. But everything that God did was good in Adam, but there was one thing that wasn't good. What was it? He was alone. And so God took out of his rib and brought forth a woman named Eve and gave him godly community to fulfill the purpose. Amen? And that purpose, the purpose of God is what we're talking about, was multiplication, right? So every single one of us could come into play. Amen? I want you guys to see this. Let's do one more for sake of time. David. David and Goliath. Everybody loves David, right? David's a mighty man. He's a man after God's own heart. David is loaded with gifts, just like a lot of people in this room. Some of you guys can sing, but David he could play a mean harp, right? David was anointed, but he was a sniper. He could cut you down to size. He was a warrior. He would kill you quick, okay? He was in charge of the soldiers of Israel. The mighty men looked up to David. This guy had boatloads of giftings. But there was a call on his life. That little shepherd boy was called to be the king of Israel. Amen? And for the life, if you just read the Old Testament, you're going to find out he's running in his life away from the calling of God, mainly because of the opposition. Can I get an amen? There's opposition.
Amen.
The opposition that is against him continually. Saul, the king of Israel, is throwing darts at him and trying to pin him to the wall, trying to take him down. His brothers weren't for him. You know this.
Yeah.
And so David's having trouble. And I want to read this to you guys today because I want you guys to see it, feel it, and know it. Just because you have opposition, listen to me. Hey, just because you have opposition, just because there are haters, can I get an amen? Just because it may come from wherever, don't be dismayed. You have to go through that to build up the stamina to withhold the position that God has called you to.
Amen.
God's got to take you through this so he can have you riding second chariot to Pharaoh. Amen, if you're Joseph. God has to have you almost pinned to the wall many times so that you can become the proper representative of the King of Israel and so that your position is bigger than you think it is. Amen? And that's why you're going through all these issues in your life right now. Because God is making that vessel big enough to be what He wants it to be. Are you with me? Do you see where that's a good message to you this morning? Amen? Well, what about David's godly community? He didn't have any. No, wait. He did. Saul's son. A guy named Jonathan, right? God raises up Jonathan right in the midst of it. Jonathan and David had a relationship. Their hearts were knit together. In the midst of the caves, in the midst of the running, they were in cahoots together against Saul, against the evil one that was trying to kill and kill the anointing. And God brought godly community to David in his life. And praise God, Jonathan was going to be the heir to Israel, but Jonathan was so anointed. Church, get this. Don't lose this. David and Jonathan were anointed in this circle. Amen?
Amen.
And they're having a conversation one day like this. And Jonathan says to David, you know I'm supposed to be king of Israel. Jonathan's saying that to David. But Jonathan knows the mind of God because he's anointed. Amen? Jonathan says to David, but God has called you to be the king of Israel. That's the type of people you need in your circle. Anointed people of God that will speak into your life truths and that know things about you that no one else does and are going to speak powerfully to lift you up, to bless you, to be about God because they want what's best for you and God's kingdom and they can see it all. And church, you guys have to see the circle of purpose in your own life today. Some of you guys, we've aborted God's purpose in our life because we don't know God. Well, you need to be born again today. Amen? Everybody in this room needs to know Jesus Christ personally. Look at the second one. Some of you guys are clueless about your giftings and yet God's put so many in all of you. Well, you need to come into discipleship to learn about the giftings. Because, listen, Tom Reiser, you'll be empty in your life and in fulfillment, chasing dreams, until you figure out that the dream is God's and He planted it in you before the foundation of the world. Some of you guys are just chasing your tails in life because you don't know the calling that's upon your life. So, there may be people right here, right now, you're called to write a book. You're called to go to India. You're called to do this or that or the other. You guys are never going to figure that out until you get some godly community around you. Amen? Like a Jonathan or an Eve that can speak life to you.
Amen.
I think the women, I'm going to get an amen from some of the women around here. I bet women would like to stand up and say this. Man, I'll be the spiritual leader in our household, but God's called you to be.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Every woman just said amen. They don't want to be the spiritual head. They want the head to stand up and they want the man to stand up, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Church, let's get into our purpose. Let's stand to our feet today as we close encouraged. Amen.